But today, I'm excited.
Now,
I'm excited. I want to tell you this, that you, this is going to be a powerful sermon today, as you're going to hear. One of the things at the beginning of the year that I had set in my mind that we need to do here at Destiny was develop some more speakers. Of course, we were in the process of planting our former associate pastors, Pastor Matt and Crystal Engel, there, along with several other families in our church, moved to Arkansas. They're in Rogers area, and they're planting their church there and doing a great job there planting that church. But Pastor Matt did most of the preaching when I wasn't here or needed to break off that Sunday. And so this year, I decided I wanted to develop a couple of our staff members to begin to do that. And I've been so proud of Pastor Justin and Pastor TJ for their job of growing and speaking and growing in the Word and their presentation of the gospel. I've asked Pastor TJ to speak today. I'm excited about next week, about coming next week and sharing with you as we kick off the new theme for the year and the Word the Lord has given us for next year. Let me tell you this, next week, I would not miss if I was you. I promise you, I'll make you a promise right now. I promise you, next Sunday will be the best message you've heard all year, okay? Some of you will get that in about 2 days. Okay. First sermon, yes, first sermon of the year. It'll be the best message you've heard all year. It's going to be good as we come and we get refocused in on where God is calling us to go in this next season of our church. I'm excited to share with the spiritual direction where we're heading. And so, but I've asked Pastor TJ to come. I told him as he was getting ready to come this morning, I said, I don't know how you're going to preach, but you're already killing it with that outfit. He's got an awesome outfit. Looking dapper today. Come and bless us today. He did a great job in the first service.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Did you declare to you the past is over? You, things are made new, surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward.
Amen, 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 amen. Whoa. How many of y'all feel the presence of God in this place this morning? My goodness. I could have stayed in worship all day. That's what I love to do. I love to worship, and I love to just be in the presence of God. If you love Jesus, let me hear you make some noise in this place this morning. Y'all must have heard what Jermaine said last week, and I said this was the most quiet service. Why do I say that? I said this first service. Y'all, I know I get up here every single time, and I say, if you love Jesus, make some noise. Clap your hands, put your hands together. And you're like, okay, dude, you say this every single time you grab the mic. Like, please stop telling me to do this. But you want to know why I say that is because we are made in the image of God. And since we're made in the image of God, how many of y'all know that we like to be appreciated? We like to be shown affection. We like to be shown love. So it's the same thing when we're giving praises to our God. We're just saying, God, I love you. God, you're amazing. You're awesome. You're holy. We're showing him affection. So one more time, if you love Jesus, let me hear you make some noise in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here. Well, I'm here every Sunday. Just here in a different vein today. Pastor Gene and Pastor Melody, as I say all the time, I thank you guys so much, for real. So humbled and honored to do this. I can't say that enough. I know it may just sound like words, but I really do mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I thank you guys for calling greatness out of us. How many know that it is so awesome that we have leaders that will pour into us and that will allow us to grow and strengthen and do things? Can we give it up for our pastors, Pastor Gene and Pastor Melody? They are so awesome. So amazing. We appreciate you guys. And I would be remiss real quick. I did this in the first service. If I would not acknowledge my girl over there. Yeah, yeah. Somebody say, wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Seriously, though, on a serious note, I promise you, and I'm not just saying this. I know a lot of people say this, but I would not be here on this stage doing what I do if it was not for my wife. She keeps me grounded. She gives me, she really cheers for me. She really pushes me and grows and helps me grow and strengthen. She makes certain, that we have money in the bank because I like to shop. As you can see, you know, I like to wear a lot of different clothes. And so she is our financial planner. And I'm so thankful for everything that she is. So one last time, if y'all wouldn't mind giving it up for my beautiful, lovely wife, Pastor Courtney. Thank you, babe. I love you. I love you. All right. Well, if you're ready for the word, say yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump into this real quick because any of you that have heard me before, y'all know that I like to talk. I got my little timer here. Make certain that, you know, we don't go over time today. And I know you all know me as the real excitable, you know, the one jumping around. I mean, I did it earlier. You know, I'm a little crazy, a little radical. But God has instructed me to take a different avenue, a different approach today. And so I'm just going to sit here and talk to you and teach us today. Is that okay if I just sit here and talk to you guys this morning? And now there's no promises that I won't get worked up. Y'all know how I am. So I'm going to put that out there as a disclaimer. There's no promises, but I am going to, just talk to us today. Pastor Gene asked me a couple of months ago, to speak on this Sunday. We were sitting right back there in the back section. And it was, like I said, a couple of months ago, and we were actually working on Christmas stuff already. And he was sitting there and he said, you know, I want you to be ready, on December 28th. And he gave me the date and I looked, and I was like, okay, that's great. And I was like, whoa, man, that's the end of the month. And then I looked again. I was like, whoa, that's the end of the year. I was like, Pastor Gene, you sure you trust me to give the last word of 2014? Because, you know, I'm a little wild. I'm a little radical. He goes, yeah, yeah, it's going to be fine. And so what happened is I immediately began to seek God and began to ask him, God, what is it that you would want your people to hear on this day, on this last Sunday of 2014? What would you want me to say? And all preachers and pastors get messages different ways, but God always gives me the title first, and then he speaks the word. And so what he told me is left behind. Two small words, left behind. Everybody say left behind. Now, I know some of y'all probably got scared because I know you've seen the movie. And you're probably like, oh, Lord, he's about to talk about the rapture. He's about to talk about Jesus parting the sky. We're about to go through all trials and tribulations. I just tell you, calm down today. I'm not going to talk about that. I promise. We'll let our pastor handle that. but I want you to know what I'm really talking about today. When I say left behind, we're going to be talking about leaving things behind and leaving it in the past. So why did I title it Left Behind? Because that's what I want you to say when you leave out of this place today. On 2014, December 28th, I left it behind. So what are you talking about, Pastor TJ? You're talking about leaving things behind. What are we leaving behind today? I want to talk about one thing that we all in this place have in common. It's not that we all love God, but I know that we do. It's not that we all love our pastors, and I know that we do. It's not that we all love this church. I know that we do. But the one thing that we all have in common in this place is that we all have a past. We all have a past. And now I know as soon as you hear that, you probably think, oh, he's going to talk about our deepest, dirty, darkest secrets. No, I'm not going to talk about that today. Although that is a part of your past. I'm talking about everything from birth until now, sitting here today, things that have shaped the very being of who you are. And so the first thing that we've got to know is that our past is a very real thing. We got to know that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, self-help books and all these different things out there saying, oh, you know, just forget it and go live. You know, just forget and go live. And that's partly true. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually going to talk about that today. But the very first thing is that we've got to acknowledge that it's real, that what we've gone through, it's happened. It is a real situation. It is something that we have really gone through. It can be good or it can be bad, if you want to put it that way. You know, some of us have, you know, maybe only had a little ups and downs in life, and some of us have maybe feel like we've been through the ringer and feel like, you know, life has just constantly brought us up and down and up and down and up and down. Some of us, we think about our past and past situations constantly, think about it all the time. And for some of us, it haunts you everywhere you go. You know, you could be just driving down the street and you see Taco Bell and you're like, oh man, I remember what happened there. And then you could be in the car and then a song come on and you're like, man, it takes you right on back. Then you're just walking through the office and this one girl got on the same perfume and you're like, wait, what? Hold on now. just take you right back. And it seems like it's haunting you everywhere that you go. And for some of us, our past affects our very character. This won't come as any surprise to anybody today, but it is scientifically proven that your past can affect your present life and even your future if you're not aware of it. It can affect your present circumstances as well as your future if you are not made aware of it. And so that's my assignment today. My assignment is to make you aware of it. So I've compiled this little list here. I know there's so many different things that, people have been through in their life. But I felt that, you know, these few of these things that I'm going to list off, at least some of us can attest to or can acknowledge and say, yeah, this is a part of what I've gone through as well. And so, you know, I'm just going to come up with this little list here. You know, one thing, I'm start at birth, you know, maybe parental issues. You know, when you first grew up, I'm pretty positive that everybody in this place wasn't blessed enough to be able to be raised with a mom and a dad in a home. You know, maybe you were raised with aunts and uncles or grandma and grandpa, or maybe you didn't have a father, which is a biggie in our world. Remember Pastor Gene talked about on the Father's Day message that this is the number one fatherless generation. And we should be able to know that just by turning on the TV. We should see what is going on in this world. We can see that kids that who have grown up, you know, without that father, without that fathering figure, you know, maybe have not been taught to respect, maybe not have taught to respect authority or to honor. I'm real big on honor. Maybe they weren't disciplined at all because their parents may have been, you know, the parents of them have been, you know, almost borderline abusive. And so they're like, well, you know, I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to discipline them at all. Let me give you a reality check today. Our world is based on discipline and rules and regulations. So if you're not teaching them at home, they're going to get taught out there in the world. And maybe not in a good way. And so that's what is happening. And so, you know, maybe it starts there in the home. Maybe you were adopted and you don't really personally feel like you know who you are or where you've come from. How about relationships, significant others? You know, I know someone that was with the gentleman for 7 years. And, you know, you just knew they were going to be together forever. And something happened. And they weren't. And what happened to her? How did it affect her? Is that she went to a deep, dark depression, went on a low skid in a low place in her life. Loved ones. It can happen with your family. Can I get an amen? I mean, you know, we're in a holiday season right now, and maybe some of us in here, some of us out there in the world, you know, have gone through all this whole holiday season. And maybe not even spoken to their mother or father or uncle or grandma or grandpa or somebody in the family that maybe has really hurt you. And so it affects you. How about friends? I know everybody in here has probably had at least one or two friends stab you in the back. Can I get an amen? I know I'm young, but I had a friend about to my sophomore year of college. We were friends for 15 years at that point. 15 years, we did everything together. I mean, man, Xbox, PlayStation. We were going, to different venues and games, different things like that. We were going shopping together, getting the same shirts. Now, we weren't twinning. We were just like, I would get a blue one, he would get a red one. So it's, you know, I wasn't walking around 15-year-old skipping down the hallway with my best friend. Okay. So let me just settle that real quick. But we did everything together, knew each person's deepest, darkest secrets. I'm going to be honest with you. We went and partied together. Let me give you a shocker today. Pastor TJ wasn't always saved. He wasn't. And we did all these things together. And long story short, something happened and we are no longer that close of friends anymore. I won't say that we're not even on speaking terms, but we're not that close anymore. How did that affect me? It closed me off. It made me not want to let anybody get that close again, especially, you know, us as men. You know, it is hard for us to let another man get that close and let you know your deepest, darkest secrets and things and stuff like that. So it took me a long time to allow that to happen again. How about divorce? That could be a huge thing. Not saying that it's right or wrong, but remember our Pastor Gene said, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, normally when you go through that situation, once you get into that next relationship, you usually already treat this new person like you treated the last. And it's because you're still in that mindset of the past. Or how about things that you did when you were younger or immature, maybe before you had Christ? You know, maybe you were out there partying like me, you know, drugs or whatever the case may be, or maybe different financial situations that you've gotten into that maybe now affects your family, all these different things. Now, all those I just said, those were, you know, things of people doing something to you. But how about this one's personal to me? How about when you actually hurt someone? Do we ever take credit when we actually hurt someone? And that is a big thing to me. I guarantee you, if you cornered me after service, I can list off every name to you of somebody that I hurt. And I do that because I don't like it. I don't like to hurt people, and I don't like confrontation at all now. So that's how it affects me, is that I don't like confrontation. So you know what I do when I have to be in confrontation? I send them to my wife. Thank you. Y'all got it. First service didn't get it. I appreciate y'all. it's actually kind of partly true. So I'll just be honest. Just tell the Lord to work on me. Just tell the Lord to work on me. But there's so many different things, you know, I took all day, if I tried to list everything that you've gone through in your past, we wouldn't have had time to do anything today. But if you can attest to one of those things or anything that you know that is in your past, I know that we have all got to know that we've all been dealt different hands. We got to know that. I wasn't dealt what you were dealt. You weren't dealt what she was dealt. We've got to know that what we have walked through in life, that is just the hand that we were dealt in life. And we can't just go around and say, well, that's, you know, well, what I've gone through, it's unfair. I look at him and everything is great. Well, then somebody else that's going through something worse than you is saying the same thing. They're saying, oh, it's unfair. It's unfair. So what is fair? What is fair? So we've got to know, this is my point today, we've got to know that we're all dealt different hands, and we've all gone through different things. Some of us have gone through a little, some of us have gone through hell, but we have got to know that we are not supposed to dwell there. If you don't get anything from me today, I want you to get that. We are not supposed to dwell on our past. And the second thing, we are not supposed to let it define us. You know, I went to college, and pretty much everybody, you know, I got to meet people in class. And when I would meet them, you know, they give me their name. And then shortly thereafter, maybe 1 or 2 minutes after, yeah, you know, I grew up without a father. Or yeah, I grew up, you know, not having a lot of money. Or yeah, you know, I was in an abusive relationship. And what's wrong with that? I'm not saying that stuff is not validated. It is. Don't get me wrong. You have the right to have emotions about that, but you can't let it define you. You can't let that define who you are. What if Pastor Gene talked about a few weeks ago? He said, we are adopted and we are son and daughter of the King. Can I get somebody to say amen? So don't let your past define you. So I know that I've said a lot. Now let me back it up with scripture. If you're following me today, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 19 says, forget the former things. This is God speaking. Forget the former things. Do not what? Do not dwell on the past. See, I, God, am doing a new thing. Everybody say new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The Message version says it like this. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? So what is God saying there? He's saying, quit going over those things over and over in your mind. Quit taking yourself back to a situation that he removed you from. Don't keep going over. He wants you to be alert, be present. He wants you to be in the now. Everybody say, be in the now. Be in the now. I'm about to do something brand new. Now, let's be honest in this place. How many of y'all like new things? I'm going to raise a hand, a foot. If I could raise the other foot, I would. Because I like new things. I like to go to the mall. I like to shop. I'm sorry, guys. I do. But, you know, we just came out of Christmas season. And many of us were blessed enough to be able to open presents. What happened when you're beginning to open up something new? Your anticipation is building. You're starting to smile because you don't even know what's there. And you just know that it's something you don't have. It's something that it's new. And so that's what God is trying to say today. He's saying build that anticipation, build that excitement. Because once you begin to unwrap what I am doing, you are going to see that I am doing something new. I am doing something new. He said it's bursting out. And I love this question. God says, don't you see it? Don't you see it? But if we want to be honest today, we don't see it. We don't see it at all. You want to know why? I'll show you. Let me give you an example. I drive a lot. I'm in my car a lot for work. And so I'm just sitting there in my car and, you know, I'm going along and, you know, maybe I may pass, you know, somebody I thought I knew, and, you know, I'm trying to look in the rearview mirror, look in the side mirror. Was that who I thought it was? Or, you know, I'm driving, and you know how we are. When we pass the accident, we like this. Driving, trying to see what's going on. And so, or how about this? If you really want the devil to come out of Pastor TJ, then tailgate me. And I know I'm not the only one. There's some other devils in here. Go ahead. Yeah, I see those hands going up. Y'all be honest. So I'm driving and somebody's all up on my tail. I'm looking at the rearview mirror. I'm looking inside. I'm like, man, now mind you, I'm on the highway driving 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, just looking dead at the rearview mirror. Man, if he don't get off my tail, what if I were to slam the brakes, huh? What if I were to slam the brakes? Then you gonna knock into me? What if I move? What if I move and then there's a car here? You just gonna run into the car? What's gonna happen? What if there's a stop sign? I'm going through all this in my head, worried about what he's doing. I have no idea what's ahead of me. And so now let me bring it back to real life terms. And if you want to go with me in imagination, and our life is a vehicle, and we get to sit in the front seat and drive because God gives us free will and choice. And we're driving through life. And what happens? We're looking up at the rearview mirror. We're looking back. We're like, man, well, what if I would have done this differently? Or what if she would have said this? Or what if I would have done this? What if I would have stayed with this person? Or what if I would have left this person? Or what if I would have made this financial investment? Or what if I would have moved? What if I would have stayed here? What if I would have, it turns into this what if game. And all you're doing is looking back and you cannot see the potholes of life. You can't see the stop sign of life. You can't see the directions. You can't see that God may be telling you, you don't need to be on this street anymore. I need you to get off on this exit. You don't see that on the horizon, God has a promotion. God has something better. God has something different. God has something new because you're looking back. Pastor Gene did a message at the end of last year that said, don't look back. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look back. Don't look back. Why don't you want to look back? Because you have no idea what is coming ahead of you. Sometimes you may need to slow down. Sometimes you may need to stop. Sometimes you may need to turn left or turn right. But if we're always worried about what's going on in our past, we can never see what's in front of us. So how do we leave our past in the past? I'm thankful that we have a pastor that gives us practical things, and he's instilled that in me. And so I'm going to do that today. I'm going to give you three practical things today of how to leave your past in the past. If you're taking notes with me today, number one, you have to accept it. You have to accept it. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor TJ? I mean that, like I said earlier, we're all dealt different hands. Can we all agree with that? We've all gone through different things in our life, and we've got to know and understand, you know, that is the hand that I was dealt. But instead, what we do is we throw pity parties. Woe is me. I've been through so much. I've gone through so much. You know, it seems like every time I turn around, every time I get up, somebody knocks me down. It seems like every time I try to do this, somebody does that. And I've just gone through so much. Will somebody just help me? And we're so focused on what we could have done, what we could have fixed, what we could have changed. Let me give you a little nugget today. You can't change your past. There's nothing you can do. Time machines do not exist. You can't go back 2 years. You can't go back 2 minutes. You can't go back 2 seconds. If you just wiggled your toes, you can't change it. There's nothing you can do to go back and change your past. So why do we focus on something that we can't change? The future, we can change. We can guide. We can direct where we're going. The past is the past. And so we got to know that we can't change it. And the most important part about accepting it is that we've got to know that God has a plan. Know that God has a plan for it. Jeremiah 29:11 says that we all know this scripture. This is God speaking again. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." What is God saying there? He's saying, "I am the creator. I already know what you've gone through. I know what you're going to go through. I'm the creator. I allowed it. But I did not have you go through the life of not having a father. I did not have you go through financial struggles. I did not have you go through people talking about you behind your back. I didn't have you go through abusive relationships to harm you or to send you down into a deep, dark depression or send you in a downward spiral. I did all of that to strengthen you and to grow your relationship with me and to prosper you." That's what you went through it for. You're wondering, like, why me? Why did I go through this? Because God wants to prosper you. He wants to make you better. He wants to make you stronger. And so I love this statement right here that I'm going to make. If it didn't take you out, then God must have a plan. If it didn't take you out, then God must have a plan. If it was that big or that strong, you would have just been done here. But God is saying, "I had you go through all of this mess, all of this stuff, all of these different things that you're carrying today, just so you can step into the prosperous life that I want to give you." God has a plan. Look at somebody and say, "God has a plan." But when you don't know that God has a plan for you and what you have been through, you can stay stuck in your past. Now, this is really important. Hear me this morning. When you don't know that God has a plan for you and for what you have gone through, you can stay stuck in your past. What do you mean? Let me give you an example. We have a great example in the Bible. The Israelites, they were stuck in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Now, I want us to get that today because I know we can just say that and we can read over that. You know, 40 years. I'm only 25. That means 15 more years that I'm stuck in some woods somewhere. And I'm black. I don't do the woods. I'm a city boy, man. I'm a city boy. And so I told y'all I'm crazy. But think about it for a minute. Get that in your mind. 40 years they stayed there, stuck in their past. And I know many of you Bible scholars and many of you people that read the Bible would say, "Oh, well, the reason why they were stuck was because of disobedience." And I would agree with you. I would say, "Yeah, you're right. You're right." Why did they disobey, though? Because they still had the mindset of the past. They still had the mindset of being a slave. Remember everything that God did for them. He brought the plagues on the Egyptians. He parted the Red Sea. He rained manna from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. He did all these different things for them. But there were some times in there where they thought that they just walked through all of this for nothing. That this was just the hand they're dealt and nothing was coming of it. But God had a plan the entire time. What was his plan? To get them to their promised land. Pastor Gene knocked my socks off when he said this earlier this year. He said, Bible scholars have seen and estimated that it should only have taken them 11 days to get to the promised land. Let that sink in for a minute. 11 days. But they were stuck in that wilderness for 40 years. My question to you today is, how long have you been stuck where you're at? How long have you been stuck in that same mindset of where, and God is saying, you know, I want you to be here. This is what I have for you, but you're still stuck in the past. And he wants to move you forward. God uses your past. Get this today. God uses your past to take you where he has planned for you. He uses all of that to get you to where he wants you to go. So number one, accept it. Number two, deal with it. Number two, deal with it. Look at your neighbor and say, just deal with it. I know that may sound harsh, but let me explain. A lot of the reason that we can't get past or move past our past is simply because we haven't dealt with it. Somebody comes along and they hurt you or mistreat you. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just sweep it under the rug. You've done or made, you know, different wrong decisions in your life. You just sweep it under the rug. You know, you may have hurt someone or done something, you know, they'll be fine. I'm not going to say anything to them. Just sweep it under the rug. You know, somebody, you may have gone through abusive relationship or may have grown up without a father or whatever you have gone through in your past. We just sweep it under the rug. But you know what happens when we just sweep it under the rug? We're building anger. We're building resentment. We're building all these things that come that soon as you get that, then that's when the enemy creeps in. That's all he needs. He just needs you to get a little bit of resentment for that person over there. And he's like, I got him. There's a lot of different things that I can do with them there. So how do we get past that? How do we not let that build up? One word, forgiveness. Forgiveness. This is so important as believers and being in the body of Christ is we have to know how to forgive. And I know some of you, you know, may be like, well, Pastor TJ, you have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea how they made me feel. You have no idea what they said about me. You have no idea what I've had to get through just to even be here. I probably shouldn't even be alive. I've gone through so many different things. And you're right. I don't know, but God knows. God knows everything that each and every person in this place has been through. And you don't think he cares about you? He does. That's why we have to forgive. You want to know why? Because he forgave us. God has forgiven us, so we, in turn, have to forgive. Remember the Lord's Prayer? We learned this, you know, as we were children. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what? And forgive. And forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our wrongdoings. Forgive us when we hurt someone. Forgive us when we have gone wrong and astray. And why do we ask forgive us? So we can forgive those who trespass against us. So we can forgive. Remember the story, Peter, when he approached Jesus about this very topic, found in Matthew chapter 18, 20, verse 20 through 21, says, Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Now, I said this in the first service, and I've said this before when I spoke here. You know, the Bible doesn't always tell us, you know, facial expressions. It doesn't tell us where they were standing. It doesn't tell you everything that was going on. So what do we get to do when that happens? Make it up. So that's what I'm going to do for you today. So this is how I perceive. This is how this happened, is that Peter approaches him and he's like, you know what? I'm going to ask him about this topic. And you know, I'm really going to blow everyone away. You know, all these disciples, all my brothers, I'm even going to blow Jesus away. And I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to say one time. I'm not going to say two times. And I'm not going to say three times. He started preaching his own revival right there to himself. And he goes, but I'm going to say seven times. Yep. I'm going to say seven times. And I know he's going to be proud. He's going to be impressed, said that I was listening. So he comes up to Jesus. He says, Jesus, my Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven. And he looks around at his disciples and they're like, oh man, good job, man, good job. And Jesus is like, you're still wrong. Not even close. Jesus says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Now I know some of y'all heard that and said, oh, we got to forgive 77 times. Now, I don't personally believe that Jesus is saying that we need to carry around a notebook in our little vest here and jot down every time we've, oh, I forgave Big Mike today. I forgave him tomorrow. Yep, I forgave him again. Oh, gosh, I'm only at 15. Man, I got a long way to go. And so we just keep doing this. I don't believe that Jesus is saying that. But what I do believe is saying is that it's a process. It's not a one-time deal and it's over. It is you have to continue to forgive and to continue to forgive and continue and to continue to forgive. And does that sound familiar? It does, because that's what he does to us. He continues to forgive and continues to forgive and continues to forgive. That's why we have to forgive. If you're taking notes with me today, I don't have this on the screen, but I want you to write this down. Forgiveness is the most powerful tool to release you from your past. Forgiveness is the most powerful tool to release you from your past. And the last thing here, after you accept it, you accept this is the hand that you've been dealt in life, after you deal with it, you don't sweep it under the rug anymore. You forgive. And for those that you hurt, you ask for forgiveness, because that releases you too. Third thing, you pick yourself up and you move forward. Move forward. Why should we get excited about this part? Let me tell you why. Because you have to know that whatever you have gone through, I don't care if you've had the worst life possible. I don't care what you have gone through. I don't care how bad it's been, how big it's been. Maybe we're transitioning into a new year. Maybe 2014 was the worst year of your life. But I'm here to tell you today the good news. And the good news is that whatever you have gone through, it is not to be compared to what God really has for you. Woo, that should get somebody excited today. That gets me excited. It is not even to be compared to. Let me prove it to you with scripture. Romans 8:18 says it like this. This is Paul speaking. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. Come on, say that with me this morning. Not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He's saying, I consider that growing up without a father. I consider that having financial struggles for the last 20 years. I consider that people who said bad things about you. I consider that everything that you've gone through. I consider that 2014 was the worst year of your life. I consider that these present sufferings are not even worth what God has for you. Not even close. And so that's the exciting thing. If I'm going to tell you today, if you feel like you've been through a lot, oh man, that means you've got a big blessing on the way. That means you've got an even bigger blessing than somebody who's been through not a lot, because God is saying that it's not even compared to what he has for you. Closing with these last couple of statements here. I know that I said a lot this morning. And some of you may say, well, Pastor TJ, good word, man, good word. Thanks. I appreciate it. But out of respect, you're 25 years old. You've only been married for a couple of years. You don't have any kids. You had a scholarship to play basketball. You lead us in worship every Sunday morning. You're up here, you get to preach. Life is going great for you. What do you know about the past? What do you know about leaving things in the past? What do you know about going through hard times? And I'll respond to you as Paul did here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. But one thing that I do know, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I'm here to tell you today, humbly, as a humble servant of God, I'm not telling you that I haven't figured out. I promise you I'm not. I know I've got a long way to go. I know I've got a long way to grow. I know I've got a lot of life lessons to go through. But I'm telling you one thing that I do know, that all the people that have talked bad about me, all the people that have stabbed me in the back personally, I'm talking about TJ, all the people that have tried to hold me back from my destiny, I don't worry about it anymore. I'm not looking at it anymore. I forget it and I leave it behind and I press forward because God has called me. I'm closing with this quote here from Joyce Meyer. She was asked, Joyce, how do you get past your past? She said, God will give you anything, anything you can see, as long as it's biblical. And if you will just stop thinking about everything that you've lost, everything that you're not, everything that you've given up, the way that you've been treated, and set your mind on His vision for your future, God will bring you to your promised land. Let me stop there for a second. Why is that important? Because my promised land is not your promised land. Your promised land is not Pastor Gene's promised land. Your promised land is your promised land and what God has for you. So let's stop comparing our promised lands with everybody else. Just say, God, I want what you have for me. She says, God will bring you to your promised land. But first, you have to let go of what lies behind. I don't know what it is for you today. I don't know if I talked about it. I don't know if I mentioned it. But there's two people who know. God knows and you know. And so whatever it is that you feel that is holding you back, that you've struggled with, that you're carrying this baggage. Now, God told me this word in the first service, and I got to speak it prophetically again. He said the reason, TJ, that this word has to go forward today is because some people came in with stuff that they've been carrying for in 2014. That they will not survive in 2015 holding on to it. And I'm not saying that you're going to pass away. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm saying that weight, that burden that you're carrying, you're not going to have the strength to carry it any longer. And so that's what this message was all about today. It's to say, God, I lift my hands. God, I tell you, thank you. God, I leave it behind to you today. That's getting free right there, Dusty. Lift your hands and just receive and let go and leave it here. And that is here for each and every person in this place today. I feel the Spirit of God. Why don't you go ahead and stand onto your feet as we begin to say, God, we leave it behind to you. Standing here at your feet, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for each and every person in this place. I don't have to know what's going on, God, but you do. And so I declare that right now, that the baggage, the weight that some of us have been carrying for years, the not being able to forgive God or not asking for forgiveness, God, for ourselves, God, or being able to let go, God, I pray that we are able to accept our past, that we're able to deal with it and then move forward in you, Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, real quick, if you're here today and you say, God, this is the end of a year. I'm moving to a new year. I'm moving to 2015. And I don't want to do it without you. Whether you've asked God to be in your life before, whether you received Christ into your life, or whether you want something new, you want something fresh in 2015 with nobody else looking around, I won't embarrass you. I want you to lift up your hands all over this place. Say, God, I see those hands going up. Yes, God. Come on, don't miss this moment. I know it may feel like just a little act, but this is a complete sign of total surrender. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, God. Now I want everybody to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your joy. And I thank you for your protection. God, from this day forward, I will leave my past in the past. And I will look forward to what you have for me. I accept your love and I accept your grace. And from this moment forward, I am a new creature in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise in this place. If you really believe it, come on, let's give God some praise in this place. Now, the very last thing, I believe that when we step into a new year, that I know some people say, well, it's just another day. It's just, you know, another year is just a new thing. But I think spiritually, there is something that happens in the atmosphere. And if we're saying we want to move forward from one year, from glory to glory, from 2014, 2015, if that is you and you are ready to leave those things here with God today, I invite you to come down and join me here at the altar. We're going to close out with this song that says, God, I'm moving forward. Make me new. And I want us to make it personal in this place this morning. Scoot in real close to the front for those that are coming in the back. I don't want anybody to miss out on this. Don't leave this place with the same thing that you brought in here with. We're going to declare that, God, we're moving forward and we're moving ahead in you. So help me sing this out this morning. I'm not going back, I'm moving up, here to the earth. My past is over. Come on, if you're moving forward, if you're not going to look back, if we're going to go into 2015 with a new attitude, with a changed mind, somebody give God a shout of praise.
Man, how we received that word today? That's an awesome word, man. We received that today. I know you do. Let me tell you, before you leave today, let me give you something that's going on. A week from Monday will be January the 5th. I'll be talking more about it next week, next Sunday, but I want to give you a chance to begin to pray about it now as we enter into what we do here at Destiny Church to become an annual time of fasting to kick off the new year. There's a biblical principle we see in Scripture where they fasted to refocus their attention on God, refocus to get their mind back into the right mind frame of hearing God's voice again, hearing His direction. Many times we see in Scripture where Jesus said, you weren't able to accomplish this prayer because you lack some power. And he goes, that power comes through fasting and prayer. And so we believe at Destiny Church, we believe every January, we want to take 21 days and just refocus ourselves with a time of fasting as a corporate body. Now, this is not required, but we just ask you to pray about it. And if you feel led to, that you would say, yeah, I want to join you, Pastor Gene, in a 21-day fast. Now, I'll be personally fasting all meat, sugar, and bread. How many know I love sugar and I love meat? That's a big thing for me, okay? Bread is not going to kill me, but man, meat and sugar is going to be a big deal for me. I believe God's asked me to do that. Now, for you, it may not be food, it may be something else. Many people have given up things such as Facebook or TV or just different things. Whatever you think that maybe, hey, I would like to kind of stop doing this for 21 days and just let God know I'm focusing back on you, hearing your voice again. I want you again to pray about it this week. We'll talk more about it next week. We're going to be kicking it off in about 8 days. And so I want you to have a clear mind. I don't want to just spring it on you with a 1 day's notice. I want you to have this week to think about it and begin praying about it as we enter into a new time of direction for the church, where we're headed in this next year. It's going to be a great season for the church. And we want to make sure that we're focused in where we need to be. Okay. So pray about it this week. We'll talk more about it next week. Leave it behind. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and say, leave it behind. You guys have a great week. You guys have a great New Year's. God bless you.